Shalom, Rabbosai. Today's daf is daf Pei Beis in the Sechah Shabbos. We have the discussion of finishing the 8th Perek. So again, set the celebration. Whatever you do to celebrate when we finish Perek. So set that up. And we are, for obviously, first we have to do it. But then we're going to then start the 9th Perek, which actually has very little to do with Shabbos, as you'll see in a moment. But let's get there first. We are three lines in on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Amar le Rav Huna le Rabba Bray. Rav Huna said to Rabba his son, "My time alo shichachta kame de Rav Chista. Why have you not gone to learn and hang out with Rav Chista? De mechad din shmaise, he's very mechaded, he's sharp in his teachings, he's a tremendous teacher." So Amar le, so his son said to him, "My aizu le gabe, why should I go hang out with him? What's the point? Whenever I go and learn by Rav Chista, mostly the meaning of the Alma, he's teaching these regular, normal, everyday things." He would say, "Someone who goes to the bathroom, lo leisiv behedya, he shouldn't sit, sit straight down. He shouldn't sit down, harshly. Lo litrach tvei, he shouldn't, try to put it too much effort into it. Tagar kashta tlas shine." Because he's going to end up hurting himself. He's going to strain or tear the muscles. That's the next line. Right, the kakashta, the tush, is supported by tlas shine, by three teeth, i.e. three types of muscles over there by the bottom. Dilma mishtamata shine de kakashta. Maybe these teeth will get messed up, will get, there'll be some sort of distress put on the muscles in the lower area. The asili disakana, and it'll end up being some sort of danger. Right? As we mentioned before, that so for whatever illness that can happen to the body if a person strains himself when he's going to the bathroom. So later, Rav Huna said to him, "Ha'asik b'chay de briyasa." What do you mean? He's dealing with the chayim of the briyasa, not briyos, not health, but he's talking about the lives of everyday people, the Kadosh Baruch Hu's creations. Viata Marta Mili Dalma, you're telling me it's just random stuff that he's talking about? Right, Kalshe Ken Zil Legabe, certainly you should go and learn by him, because you don't appreciate what he's talking about. That's tachlis, people need to learn halacha, like we said before, that the introduction to yesterday's daf, that the Torah encompasses every aspect of life. And if you think that this is just merely the Alma, so certainly you need to go and take Musar and learn from him. But okay, fine, Beseder. Hailufan of Tzor Becheres. Now, the Gemara goes back to, again, we've been talking about, issues of wiping oneself with either stones or with pottery. We said there may be some sort of witchcraft involved. So the Gemara says, we had said before that pottery is not such a good idea. The Gemara here says a little different. At least there's machlokas. How you lefan of tzor v'cheres? Let's say you have two options to wipe yourself with, either with a stone or a piece of pottery. Amar Rafun Amar mekanech with tzor v'in mekanech v'cheres. You should wipe yourself with a stone and not with the pottery. But Rav Chista Amar, Rav Chista says mekanech v'cheres mean mekanech v'tzor. It's better to wipe yourself with the pottery. And again, we pointed out that because pottery could be a kli on Shabbos, we mentioned yesterday that it could be used to transport maybe fire or transport water, right? Again, if you have a jar of pottery that's been broken, so very often the pottery will be curved, so it has a base kibul, and it can act like a spoon, a serving tray, whatever it is. So according to Rav Chisda, it's better to use the item that is a kli, right, that is theoretically not mukta, as opposed to the stone, which is categorically, unless it's really set aside, stones in general are mukzas. Meisvei, one second, I'll ask you a question about Rav Huna, who said that he should use the stone. Brisa says, "Hayu lefanav tzor v'cheres, if you have a stone or a piece of pottery, mekanech v'cheres, v'nei mekanech v'tzor." It's yifta the Rav Chista, right? The Brisa says, "Beferish, you should use the pottery, not the stone." So Rafa Bar Papa, k'mei the Rav Chista, alib the Rav Huna. So Rafa Bar Papa explained the Brisa, right, in front of Rav Chista. But obviously Rav Chisda Mestama was the one either who brought the kasha, or obviously he was happy with the kasha because he disagrees. So Rav and Bar Papa explained Rav Huna's shita, the ongne kalim. It's talking about the rims of kalim. When a pottery, that Bryson, when it says that the pottery is better, the rims are smoother. And the rims of Mestama, if you can imagine a rim that's broken off, so there's no real sharp edge there. However, when when Rafuna was saying she's a stone over the pottery, that's if the pottery is sharp. And we mentioned yesterday that, you know, could be for whatever reason, either you would cut hairs or you may end up cutting yourself. That might be a danger. Or because of Kishu, for the sharp pottery was not as, you know, I guess, preferable to the stones. Okay. How the fun of Tsur of Asovim? Let's say you had a stone or grass. One that says you should use the stone, and one says you should use the grass. Mesvei, ask you, Kasha, hold on one second. I'm a kenech with the or show the stone. If you wipe yourself with something that is, it can be burned. The or shalat this bone, meaning it's flammable. So shinov hatachtonos noshos. His lower teeth, again, the muscles in the tush area, will, quote unquote, will fall out. Apparently, you see that it's not a good idea to use something that is flammable. How do you do it nowadays? How do we use toilet paper nowadays, which is flammable? So it's actually discussed, believe it or not. Again, like I said, Torah is all over the place. It's discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch brings this halacha. The Shulchan Aruch, I believe, omits this halacha, and then the Ramah brings this halacha, but says that nobody cares. I take it back. I think, if I'm not mistaken, either the Tur or the Shulchan Aruch leave it out. I apologize, I forget which one. The Ramah quotes this halacha and then says that you see that people are not makbid for this nowadays. So it must be that Kosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, gives some sort of protection. Everybody uses flammable toilet paper, and that's apparently fine. Okay, it is actually discussed in the postkin. So the Gemara answers, how could you use grass? The Gemara says, Lokasha havalacha and habiyavation. No, if the grass is wet, so then it's obviously not as flammable. If grass is dry, so then it is susceptible to being burned, and then it's not appropriate. So when we say that you should use grass as opposed to a stone, that's if it is wet. Okay. Hanitzrach lefanos veino nifna. Again, we're talking about going to the bathroom. Right? The Chazal always talk about it's healthy to go to the bathroom. A person who needs to go to the bathroom and does not go to the bathroom. Actually, over here, if you look at the on the left of the Gemara, it says Berav Alphas Isa Hanitzrach lepanos veacha. Lahafnos veacha. Someone who needs to go to the bathroom and then instead of going to the bathroom, he eats more food, and that actually will work better with the hemshech of the Gemara. So let's use that. Someone needs to go to the bathroom and he eats. Rav Chista, Ravina, that was a machlokas. Chad amar ruach rashal at this bow, v'chad amar ruach zuamashal at this bow. One of them says he'll have bad breath, and one of them says he'll have a bad smell, i.e., sweat. He'll sweat, l'maisa, because some of the waste will go through his sweat glands instead of through his body the other way. So, time you come out, amar ruach zuamashal at this bow, there's a brisa that says, according to the one who says that he'll have a bad smell, a bad odor, bad sweat, bad body odor. Titania lekulin and a brisa, this is why the language of the Gemara lines up better. Hanitzrach lenakav ve'ochel, if you need to go to the bathroom and you eat, the dome latanur she'esiku agabe efro, it's compared to a tanur that was fueled by its ashes. Vezuhi tchilas ruach zuama, that's the beginning of this sweat, this odor, the body odor that comes to a person, right? Again, just a, you know, an oven that is heated with ashes, so it's not if it's not cleaned out properly, right? That's the analogy over here. So it won't burn well at all. Okay, fine. Say the same thing. A person needs to go to the bathroom before he eats in order to digest the new food in a healthy manner. Now, this is this is the Gemara that perhaps. No, I take it back. No, it's not actually. Okay, fine. Never mind. Hutzrach lipanos veino yachol lipanos. So a person needs to go to the bathroom, but he can't. He's unable to. He's constipated. So Rav Chista, yamo v'yeshev. Should do some exercise. Sit, stand, whatever exercise that was. Rav Chana menera da, Omar, yistalik l'tzdodim. You should move to another side. Maybe perhaps go to a different area. Again, because perhaps another area will be helpful. If he moves a little bit, that also will be a little bit of exercise. It will, take his mind off things, etc. Although we'll see in a second, he should focus on it. Rav Hamnuna Amar Yishmashmesh Betzura Ba'osamakom. Again, as we mentioned before, he should try and use some sort of stone to try and help him get the feces out. For Rabbanan Amrei Yesiach Taito. The Rabbanan say he should remove his mind, think about something else. So Amar Le Ravach Abreid Rav Le Ravashi. If someone who's not thinking about it, certainly is not going to be able to go to the bathroom. So I'm going to let you know. He should remove his mind from other matters and focus on going to the bathroom, and then that hopefully will help. I saw a certain Arab. Rashi says Taya here is Yishmael, right? An Arab. Come Yosef. He was doing some exercise. Had the shafach kedera, and then, you know, he came out of him like you were pouring it out of a pot. He wasn't watching him. Perhaps he was in the stall next to him and he heard. Okay, anyway, fine. Tanu Rabbanan Levi Debraisa. Hanichnas l'sudas kava. Someone who's going into a meal, a permanent meal, right? It's a meal you know that you're going to have. And it's not appropriate. Rashi says, "Gnaihu lo in yitzdarich lamud min asunav lipanos." It's not proper manners to get up during the meal and go to the bathroom. So yahalech eser panim shel arba amos. He should walk 10 times, 4 amos. Again, a little bit of exercise. And Rashi says, "Dachi adif yud panim yamtin bein pam lepam v'yivdo gatzmo." And he should see if he can go to the bathroom or if he needs to go to the bathroom between each walk. Between each little stroll over there. Some people say you should 4 times, you should walk 10 amos each, okay. But if not, then you can go to the bathroom, and you can go and sit by the meal. Okay. Last mission, the parak cheres. And the parak was talking about different items, the shear, how much you have to take out on Shabbos to be chayiv. So we're just finishing that up. Cheres, if you take out pottery, kedei litein bein patzin lechavero. Enough to put between one piece of wood and its friend. Rashi says basically over here that Kemeshadrim Patsimim Vamudim Vakoros Osim Soar Shalkoros Ala Aret. Let's say you have a bunch of wooden beams and you want to stack them one on top of the other. So they're not exactly that. Nowadays we have like these machines, you have, it's exact measurements. Back then, you didn't have exact measurements, and there'd be a little bit of space in between each wood, right? Wood is not necessarily uniform in its shape. So they would put these pieces of pottery in between the wood so that it shouldn't press on each other with different pressure points, and then it would warp. That could lead to warping of the wood. So they would put this pottery, if you can imagine, in between the spaces, in between the holes, to make sure that the pressure on all of the wood was the same, nothing would get misshapen. Okay, so that's the shear, however big that item used to be. That's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kedei Lachtos Bo Esaor, enough to hold a fire, or either a coal or a fire. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kedei Lakavo Bo Revius, enough to be able to hold a revius of liquid. That's obviously a bigger shear, right? A revius is a decent amount. But you have to have, if the pottery is curved, so you have to be able to hold the revius, that's already a bigger shear. Amar Rabbi Meir says, Alva Pisha Ein Raya L'davar, Zeich L'davar, even though I have no proof, but I do have a remembrance, a way to remember, kind of a hint. V'loi Matzei B'Nechitato Cheres Lachtot Eish Miyukar. And this is a pasuk in Yeshayo, when he's talking about how everything will be destroyed, that they won't even find a piece of pottery to pick up fire. Right? So that's exactly Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir Shita, right? Enough to be able to pick up a fire. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Misham Raya, Sitan, that's not a proof, because Vlaksof Mayim Migava, the end of the pasuk says, pour pottery to pick up water from a hole. So you see, that's exactly Rabbi Yossi Shita, enough to hold the revius liquid. I guess, actually, that now that I mention it, Rabbi Yossi is probably a smaller shear. Probably smaller shear than Rabbi Meir. Yeah, okay. Fine. Okay. So says the Gemara. I will skip the parentheses. Mistaver shear the Rabbi Yossi Nafish. Right. Oh, that's why I jumped the gun. It makes more sense that Rabbi Yossi's shear is the biggest. Just logically, because enough. If you need to be carry a revius, you need a big piece of pottery. But when we crush you, there are nafish. But it seems from the pasuk that Rabbi Meir's shear is bigger. Because if you were to tell me that the shear of holding the Rabbi Yossi's shear, i.e., to be able to hold the revius mayim, if you thought that's bigger, When Yeshayahu is saying you're not going to be able to even find a piece of pottery to pick up something, so why would he curse them with a small shear and then curse them again with a bigger shear? Obviously, if Rabbi Meir's shear, i.e. picking up the fire, the one that's mentioned first in the pasuk, is smaller, obviously, if you can't find a piece of pottery to pick up a small item, i.e. a piece of fire, obviously you're not going to be able to find a piece of pottery to pick up water, a reverse of water, which is bigger. So it must be, the pasuk seems to imply that Rabbi Meir's shear is the bigger one. So, Amar Abaye says, Masnisan nami lachtos esh miyikida gedola. No, it's because the fire that we're talking about in the Mishnah, that is actually Rabbi Meir's shear is bigger, because we're talking about picking up a shear, picking up a fire from a big bonfire. Sorry, a big piece of wood, a big piece of, let's say even a big coal, but he's talking about one of those Lagbaomer fires, that's already a bigger piece of pottery than to pick up just a revius of water. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishamraya, Rabbi Yossi proved that it's not a good proof from the Pasuk. Shabakamale Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi seemed to say, well, to Rabbi Meir. Right? What did Rabbi Meir say back then? What did Rabbi Meir, how would he learn that Pasuk? Rabbi Meir, let me buy a comma. Rabbi Meir would say that the pasuk is, you didn't even tell me. Well, let me buy it. You don't even need to tell me that you won't find water to pick up you won't find pottery to pick up a water. Right? Let me buy a midi the chashev the inish to lishkachloi. You don't even need to tell me that you won't be able to find something that is chashev to pick something up by people. Ella afilu midi de lo chashev inish, even something that's not important, that's not chashev, lo lishkachloi, you're not going to be able to find. The pottery that you can carry water is smaller, but it was a lomibaya, meaning it was just further. Lomibaya is like he says, you're not going to have A, and not only that, you're also not even going to have B, even though B is obvious. That's just a way of talking that it was a lomibaya, didn't even need to tell you, but I'll tell you anyway. Just to prove his point and strengthen the words that he is saying. Okay. Hadralach Hamotzi Yayin. We will come back, and now we go on to Perek Amar Rabbi Akiva. So again, we mentioned that this Perek is really not much about Shabbos at all. Rashi and Tosfos actually ask and mention, why is this Perek in Maseches Shabbos? So we'll just read Rashi and Tosfos quickly. Rashi says, Mishum deboil emisni behadahu minayin shemaratzken esamila. Towards the end of the Perek, actually, we're going to say, how do you know how much water is it that you can wash a baby with on Shabbos? So therefore, we're talking about this, right? Again, because we were talking about how many things that you can be chayev for tzah for. So since later on you're going to be chayev, what's the amount of water that you can use to wash a baby on Shabbos? That's similar to what's the amount of pottery you can go out with on Shabbos. So Tosfos doesn't like that. He says, because if that was really the reason, so then they would have started the parak with that. So Tosfos says he thinks it's just just as we brought in the last Mishnah, a remez from a pasuk. So too over here we're going to have a smachta akra, as you're going to see in a second. Right, that's the first Tosfos on the daf. If you look at it, Elanira agav detana leel v'sof hamotzi kroy desmachta gavi cheres nakat nami honey kroy desmachta. Okay, fine. So just two different things that are similar, taken from Sukkim, that you have Remez and the Pasuk. All right, either way. But Maisa, it is here, and we are going weiter. Amar Rabbi Akiva, minayim l'avodah zarah shematama b'masa kenida. How do you know that an avodah zarah, that literally, that an idol, something used for avodah zarah, is tamei midrabanan b'masa, like you're carrying it? Rashi says, adam hanosa, if you carry a piece of avodah zarah, an idol, how do you know that it is going to make the person tamei, just like a nida? The nida will make someone tamei even if they're carrying it, even if they're carrying her. Well, how does that work? Well, even if right? Obviously, a husband is not allowed to touch his wife when she's a nida, even if it's not the husband, no, it doesn't have to be the husband, but even in a scenario where they're carrying her like in Aladdin, like in that big contraption, couple of bars, four guys carrying the chariot on top. So even if you're carrying Jasmine, and Jasmine is Anita, so the four guys carrying her will become Tommy. So how do you know that if you carry a piece of avodah zarah, you're also going to be Tommy? Shemar, the pasuk says, Tizrim kamo davat, say tomar lo. It says, throw it away like dava. Dava is a word in the pasuk Parsha Sachremos that is used to describe isha dava, is referring to a nida. And say to Omalo and tell the Avodah Zarah, you should go out. As a ma nida matame b'masa, just like a nida is matame someone who is carrying her, af Avodah Zarah matame b'masa, so too by Avodah Zarah. So we're actually going to see a machlokas right now in the Gemara. So let's quote a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Tan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah. Mishaya beso samach Avodah Zarah v'nafal. Let's say you have your house. Let's say you share a wall with a house of Avodah Zarah. With assuming Christianity is Avodah Zarah. I don't know. Buddhism is probably better. You share a wall with a Buddhist monastery, and obviously, you know, Avodah Zarah is Asur Ba'anah, so you're not Chas Shalom Arasha, you didn't build their house, but you had a house there, and then they purchased the house that was next to it for whatever reason, for example. Or you built a house with someone else, and then he converted to Buddhism and turned his house into the base of Avodah Zarah, whatever the scenario is. You have three walls of your house, and the fourth wall shares a wall with a base of Avodah Zarah, and let's say that wall falls down. So the Mishnah says, Asur Levnoso, you're not allowed to build it, because that would be benefiting the Avodah Zarah, that would give them hana and benefits, and that is Asur. Ketan Yasa, what do you do? Konis Latoch Shalo Arba Amos Ubona, right? You count four Amos into your own property, so you technically lose four Amos from your property. Not, okay, you use it for, plant some flowers or something. Four Amos in, and then you can build the wall on your property. Haya Shalo B'Shalo Avodah Zarah, let's say it was yours and the Avodah Zarah's, right? It was shared. Chatzi, Rashi says, Chatzi, my Gemara is blocked out. I can't really read that next word, but HaKotel Shalom Avodah Zarah, right? It was half and half. I mean, you shared the wall. Again, it doesn't mean that you moved in next to a church. It could be that, you know, it became a base of Avodah Zarah after you moved in. But either way, you get half the wall. Let's say that the wall is 10 tefachim, so you get 5 tefachim, and they own 5 tefachim, so then what do you do? Nidal mechza mechza avonim ve'etza ve'afarav. Nidal mechza mechza. You kind of cheshbon out half and half, and then you need to count dalet amos from the half that is yours. Right? Instead of counting dalet amos from the end of the wall, you count dalet amos from the half of the wall. And the Gemara says avana ve'etza ve'afarav metamim kesheretz. And all of these, you know, the things that fell down, the items, the wall that fell down, whatever consists of the wall, are metame, like a sheretz, i.e. through touching, tumas, what's called tumas maga, tumas touching, as opposed to tumas masa, as opposed to the tumas of carrying it. As we'll see, we'll just say now that if you, for a sheretz, one of the creepy crawling things that dies, so they are, let's say, a rat or whatever, so they are not makabel tumas, but they generate tumas, if they die, but only tumas maga, that if you touch it, if you're carrying it necessarily, and you're not actually touching it, so then you're not going to become tummy. So how do you know that, again, this bride, the Dish Mishnah says that the things that belong to the Avodah Zarah are metame b'maga, like a sheretz, like for touching, Shenamar's Pasuk says, tashakes, shakets, tashaketsenu. Okay? Puts Pasuk, right? That's the same Pasuk you have by Sheketz, same Pasuk you have by, same phraseology you have by Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, Kanida. Rabbi Akiva says that Avodah Zarah stuff will be metame like a nida. That's the Rabbi Akiva we saw in our Mishnah. Shinamar Tizrim Kamodava, right? Again, the possibly quoted in the Mishnah. Ma nida metame b'masa, just like a woman who's a nida is metame if you carry her. Af Avodah Zarah metame b'masa, so too an Avodah Zarah. Now we're going to have a bunch of machlokas in terms of when this, you know, this is going to run onto tomorrow's daf. That's what we'll do Rabbah's Shita today, and you have Rabbi Elazar, but we'll see a couple of discussions in terms of this machlokas, whether, again, just to formulate in your mind, to concretize it, Rabbi Kiva says that Avodah Zarah is metame like a nida, which is maga and masa, which is touching and carrying, and Tanakama over here says, Tanakama here says that it is only tame b'maga. It is only tame if you touch it, just like a sheretz. The question is, what is Avodah Zarah similar to, a nida or a sheretz? And this is what we're going to talk about right now. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Tizraim, the Amar Kra, Nichrinu Minach Kizar. This whole Tizraim stuff, where is that? No, did I skip? Oh, no, that's it. Okay, fine. Rabbah's just explaining the pasuk. What's the mashmas in the pasuk? When he says Tizraim Damar Kra, the word that get it away from you, The pasuk says, "Nichrinu minach kazar." Made it go, get away from it like a zar, like a stranger. Say tomar lo, tell it to go away. He kanes al tomar lo, meaning don't let it, don't say enter, don't let it enter into your house. Okay, but either way, if Amar Rabba, Rabba's just darshaning out the pasuk and explaining it a little better. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, and here's the, I guess what we're really focused on. B'masad kuliyamo lo pligi demetava. Actually, everybody agrees. Not like we explained before. But everybody agrees that Avodah Zarah is going to be metame b'masa. That it, if you carry it, you're also going to become tame, as well as touching it. Meaning, for sure, that it's going to be metame you if you touch it. Da'itkesh tanidah, because after all, Avodah Zarah is as a hekesh tanidah. Ki pligi, what's the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakama? Again, the language of Rabbi Akiva was kenida. Right? He says, no, it's actually kenida. Right, the Tanakhama says metame kisheretz, and Rabbi Akiva says metame kenida. So we explained as whether it's metame with touching or by carrying. Rabbi says no. Everybody agrees that it's metame touching and carrying. But what's a machlokes? Right, whether avodah zarah is connected to sheretz or connected to nida, ki pligi, with a halacha called evan mesama. Evan mesama is in the vernacular princess and the pea. If you are sitting, let's say, on someone who is metame something b'masa, let's say anida is sitting on a mattress, so the mattress is tame. What about everything under the mattress, the bed frame, and etc., and all the other mattresses, and the pee, quote unquote, if it's supporting her? So then that's also tame, according to the halacha of Evan Masama. So what's the, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakhama. Rabbi Akiva savar kenida that avodah zarah is like nida. My nida metame b'evan masama, just like nida is metame through this evan masama. Avodah zarah metame b'evan masama. So too avodah zarah will also be metame all the mattresses till the bottom. For Rabbanan savar kisheret, then Rabbanan say no, it's like a sheret. My sheret lo metame b'evan masama. Af avodah zarah lo metame b'evan Nesama, the Rabbanan say no, that's not true, that's only comparable to Sheretz. Sheretz is not Tameh, but Tameh with this whole Evan Mesama stuff, and therefore that's the Lachonis. Rabbi Akiva, Lamai Hilchasa, Ishkis al Sheretz, so therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, for what purpose is Avodah Zarah connected to a Sheretz? So he says, L'mishamshe, to teach the Halacha that for touching. No, sorry. The mashmesh sometimes means to touch, but the mishamshay means things that that kind of literally means to service. Right? It's service, the things that service the avodah zarah. Like let's say I don't know, things that you use in the worship service or whatever, or let's say something that supports the avodah zarah, but not the actual pesel itself. So it's like the items that you use. I don't know, I guess in the worship process. That's what Rashi says, in ha-kelim ha-mishamshin, right, these utensils that you use to support the Avodah Zarah, that's matame lo b'masa v'lo b'masama. What's the connection between Avodah Zarah and Sheretz? That the service items, the secondary items that for the Avodah Zarah are only matame if you touch them. Okay, that's the connection to Sheretz. But really, an Avodah Zarah itself is matame with touching, with carrying, and with this Evan Mesama halacha. Well, the Rabbanan, my halacha, so itkish l'nida, and according to the Rabbanan, so why is Sheretz connected, you know, has a hekesh to nida, right? Again, they can't argue on these hekeshim, these are psukim, so they learn out, l'masa, that, yeah, that you're, according to Rabba, that avodah zarah will be, make someone tummy if they carry it. But loksha rachmana l'nevela, so the Gemara says, why don't we compare it to a nevela? Meaning, again, it's a nevela is also something that will make you tame, but does not make you even, does not have the halacha of heaven. It will make you tame if you carry it, but it does not have the halacha of even mesama. It could have. That would have been fine. Ella, ma nida she'in le'ivarin, af avodah zarah she'in le'ivarin. But nida was a little bit better, because there's a kind of morbid halacha about nida, that if Rachman al Tzlan Anida loses a limb, so the limb is no longer tame. So the Chazal wanted to teach that so too, if there's some reason an avodah zarah would lose a limb, quote unquote, if some item of the pesel would get chopped off, so that would no longer be metame. Okay. Velahada bayr of Chama bar Guria, but that, hold on, when this question of Chama bar Guria that asked, Avodah Zarah yeshna le'ivarim or any of le'ivarim, does this Avodah Zarah have, if it has some sort of limbs that get chopped off, is it, are they still, are they metame or not? So Tipshu le'mehadar al-abana de'ein le'ivarim. So you should use this whole give and take to determine that there is no such halacha if a limb of the Avodah Zarah gets chopped off, they should not be tame. You should use this to answer the question. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, Rav Chama bar Guria, Aliba, the Rabbi Akiva Boile, Rav Chama bar Guria, yeah, you could have answered according to the Rabbanan, but he was asking, according to Rabbi Akiva, who does not use this hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Nida to teach me anything about Evarim, he uses it to teach you about Evan Masama, but he doesn't use it to teach you about the halacha of the limbs, and therefore Rav Chama bar Guria was asking, what would Rabbi Akiva hold an Avodah Zarah that lost a limb, would it still be metame? Okay, we'll stop here because then it's going to go into another discussion until tomorrow. It'll be a Lazar Shita. Mitzvah, have a wonderful, wonderful last day of Sfiras HaOmer. Tomorrow's Erev Kabbalah Zaterah, so we will honor that by going weiter in the Heilige Shas.